Hello everyone. So today I'm talking about running GNOME OS on mobile phones. So I am part of the GNOME release team since 2018. I'm also a GNOME OS maintainer, and I work at Kotlink. So what is GNOME OS? Some of you might know it already, but for those who don't, GNOME OS is GNOME's development, testing, and QA operating system. In a way, that's how we present it. It's not really for people to use it every day, though we might want people who work on GNOME, so who develop the GNOME desktop, to use it every day. I do use it, as do a few other GNOME developers, and designers as well. Yeah, shout out to WS and Yakub. So they use it to test the new features as they are developed, so they can see the new designs, how the new designs get implemented without having to build the latest version themselves. Because that's what we do. We build the latest in development version of GNOME desktop and the core applications. And so when there are no build failures, you can expect to get two new builds every day with the latest commits. When there are issues, build issues, when things don't work together, so when there are integration issues, it may take a couple of days until someone fixes it. It's also an image-based system. So if something breaks, you could roll back to the latest version. Generally, it doesn't, because we have, well, it can break, it can, but at least it boots. We don't get to the, because we have a pipeline that tests the system before publishing the images using OpenQA. We use systemdsys update for the updates and other tools from the systemd ecosystem. So systemd PCR lock, systemd sysext. We use system extensions and all of that. So where do we run this? Initially, when it was first published back in 2020, we were only supporting GNOME virtual machines, and in particular GNOME boxes, because it had the what's needed to run UEFI. It wasn't really widespread back then. But now you can probably run it on other virtual machines. We started doing it on laptops, desktops. You might not always get the latest hardware, or the more niche hardware might not be supported. You need to figure out to add a kernel module to the kernel configuration or something. But it mostly works, and you can use it, and you can contribute if something doesn't. We do have an AR64 version, which we don't really publish, talk about. If you are on the Matrix channel, you might get pointed to it. If you're asking, how do I run a virtual machine on the Mac OS? Because, yeah. So we have it using, it works using UTM. I'm not really a Mac OS guy, but Jordan from the GNOME OS team has Mac OS, and he can answer questions. And this is the topic of this talk. So there are quite a few pieces of the puzzle to get this running. The first one is that a regular desktop OS. So it's not really something like post-market OS, which tries to run on these Android devices by building a kernel as an Android image and then putting the rootfs in another partition. So it's a regular desktop OS which expects to use and partition a disk and partition it. It could work if you manually install it, but it's generally not recommended. It could work if you have a, already have a partition table and you want and have some free space and you can install it alongside another system. You have to do it manually. It's not supported in the installer, but it's possible. But in general, with an OS, with a desktop OS, you need at least two partitions, the ESP, the EFI system partition, and the root partition of the system. We, for GNOME OS, we need more because we are using systemd sysupdate. We have both A and B partitions for user, for slash user, and then we have a vertex partitions for these user partitions, and then we have the root partition, plus the ESP. That makes a total of six, I think. And we also expect a UEFI compatible firmware, and we've always did. So even from the beginning, we never supported the BIOS boot. So how do we take these and make it work on a phone? So the first piece is U-boot. U-boot, probably you know what U-boot is. It's a bootloader that was initially developed for embedded devices, but has over the year accumulated so many features that it can be used for almost everything. Included as a replacement for UEFI firmware. Another feature of U-boot is the block maps. So we can take, let's explain first why. So we have this Android device with a lot of partitions, tens of them, and most of them we don't need, but sometimes if you try to delete a partition, it will break the phone. And even if it doesn't, and you delete, for example, the user data partition, and then you try to create multiple partitions in there instead, it could break the phone. For instance, something we had with bricked phones that was that when the partition label was longer than 16 characters. A random thing, but it would prevent it from loading into fastboot. So you couldn't flash it. Fortunately, we have developed this on the OnePlus 6, for which we can do EDL flash. So we could get them back. So we don't want this to happen to our users. So block maps is a feature of U-boot that's kind of similar to the Linux device mapper. It can allow booting from kind of some unconventional places. So the examples in the U-boot documentation are booting from a FIT image. So you could extract some part of the FIT image. And from an X4 image downloaded over the over the network for net booting. So the way we're using it is that we use the user data partition from Android. And map it as a separate device, so like another hard disk, and then probe the partitions there and find the ESP, the various partitions. So U-boot can find the ESP there and boot whatever bootloader we have, systemd boot, for instance, and then get the rest of the system going. But this, then, the system needs to also know this. So in the GNOME OS initRD, you have a UDEV rule to detect the Android user data partition and then mount it as a loop device and then probe for the partitions there and And then Linux will find the and systemd auto, I found, forget it, auto GPT generator or something like that, can find the different partitions and boot with that. And find the correct root partition and user partition, and whatever. So how to put this together? We could try to build everything ourselves, but we are kind of standing off the on other people's work. This is a the U-boot Tauchgang. This is a project, a work in progress. It's hosted on the PostMarket OS GitLab, but it's kind of a separate project. It aims to produce a U-boot build that supports all this and can be flashed directly using fastboot to your phone for Qualcomm-based phones. So there are a few phones that are currently supported. And by using this, we flash this to the boot partition on the Android phone, flash the GNOME OS image to the user data partition, and then it boots. So what works and what doesn't? That's the important. Can I use it on my, can I daily drive this? First thing it boots. That's a good thing. It, very basic things, but it gets all the way to the graphical interface, and we have touch screen working, Wi-Fi, so that we can update. We update to the newer version, because that was the first thing that needed to happen, because if not, you need to flash it every time. That's not really usable. Sensors, we've integrated the libssc and the patch for IIO sensor proxy. So we have kind of working sensors, including the auto brightness and things like that. And mobile data kind of works if you're really know the, well, there is a README file in the repository that tries to explain this, but it works, and then sometimes it stops, and you need to reboot the phone. Just regular mobile Linux issues. And most importantly, we're only doing this for the OnePlus 6 and the Fairphone 5. So we're not trying to do it like PostMarket OS support a maximum number of devices. We mostly want one device that can be used to develop, to test GNOME. So the GNOME apps, where we have a UI to work with mobile devices, some apps do. There used to be a time where people would test on the Liberum 5, things like that, the PinePhone, are trying to get more powerful devices, if I may say so. So we're focusing on these two. Other phones can be made to work, especially if we are in the same category of phones that can work with mainline Linux. So we're only carrying a few patches for the OnePlus 6. I don't remember if it's the display or the touch screen. Other than that, we're using a vanilla mainline Linux. We're not having patches for every device. So what doesn't work? The first thing is that it's still GNOME Shell, a regular desktop GNOME Shell. And then it goes a 200% resolution scale. So it doesn't go any higher, because then the logical screen size would be smaller. Text is too small. So it's not really usable as a mobile. So we can't go to the 300%. resolution scale, so that makes the logical size smaller than what the shell supports. So it's not really usable. And the GNOME shell UI isn't really made for a mobile device. Audio is not working, and we don't know why. So obviously calls can't work if you don't have audio. And anything else we didn't think of testing probably doesn't work. So I'm not saying this is something that you're ready to use, but we're hoping to get there. So where to go from here? So one thing we talked about is the GNOME Shell desktop UI isn't really usable for a phone. A couple of years ago, there was a grant for, I think it was Jonas Dressler, who worked on kind of improving the GNOME Shell experience to be usable on mobile. It kind of looks like Phosh, so the UI paradigm, etc. But those are using an older version of GNOME, so it doesn't really work with the latest version of GNOME. So we couldn't work, we can't just use this old version of mobile patches for GNOME Shell and with the latest GNOME. So there is work in progress to rebase them against the latest version, and then we can probably have that as a feature that gets enabled in GNOME OS, so you can switch between regular shell and the mobile optimized shell. And yeah, we want to try to focus on one device or maximum two and try to get them to a point where they can be usable kind of as a daily driver. And at least insofar as someone can have this as a secondary phone, so where you can test the apps, work with it, and not have so everything works, even if it's not your primary phone where you store your banking apps and private data, but at least it is usable for testing the apps and developing them, etc. So that's all for me. Thank you. So you can join us on Matrix if you want to discuss. And any questions? Yeah?
You mentioned getting patches of GNOME Mobile, GNOME Shell Mobile onto GNOME OS. Is there interest in getting the GNOME Shell Mobile patches to GNOME?
Yes. So there is interest in getting them there, but it...
Could you repeat the question?
The question is there interest in getting the GNOME Shell Mobile patches upstream? So not only in GNOME OS, but in upstream GNOME Shell. And there is interest to have that. But there is some disagreement between the GNOME Shell maintainers, so that will take some work. So it's not straightforward. Not just get that everything merged. Some things are good to merge. Some things are probably need to be reworked. Anyone else? Yeah?
I've been using GNOME as my phone for quite a while, and something that always strikes me when I use it compared to something like Phosh, for example, is like there's a lot of like things that seem very similar and like very close nature, like cell broadcasting or like the feedback thing, for example. And I'm wondering, is that something that does that, like might be sharing into projects, or is there any GNOME specific thing
that? Sorry, I'm not following. So you're talking about the GNOME Mobile patches or GNOME OS?
Oh, so GNOME OS on the phone, like some like the OSK, when I like type something, I don't get any like feedback, like vibration.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, since possibly has all of those things implemented, and
is there any, like, components? And so hard to repeat this question. So there are some things in GNOME OS right now that don't work like on Fuzz. So some of these things might get fixed when we use the mobile patches, when we get them merged, or at least in GNOME OS. We already have feedback D on GNOME OS, but it's probably not working with the GNOME Shell OSK, open on-screen keyboard, because it wasn't made for mobile devices. It might be already fixed in the mobile fork, or maybe it's not. I don't know. Someone wanted to ask a question here?
I wanted to ask, do you have any plans for sensors, like accelerometer, gyroscope?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Sensors, gyroscope, accelerometer, magnetic sensor?
I think all but one are implemented. I'm not sure, but yeah, they mostly work. So the proximity sensor works, but it's not used. The gyroscope, I'm not sure. The accelerometer, I think it works, but then GNOME Shell doesn't use it. We don't know why. Things like that. So that's what I mean by they kind of work, but they're not all necessarily being used in the system.
You said you want to focus on one phone, but you listed two phones.
Yes.
Those two phones you want to focus on?
So mostly we're planning to focus on the Fairphone 5, but the OnePlus 6 was implemented first. So we can maybe focus on both, but we'd like to focus on the Fairphone. Anyone else? Thank you again. And yes, I didn't have a video, but here it is trying to boot. Yeah, it's really small. And yeah, there's this glitch at the beginning, once because the firmware isn't loaded early enough. Then, yeah, it's a very small spinner. And you should get GDF.